Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a significant visible policing operation will be in place across the north today. The HSE says it is currently in an active process to recruit a new GP to lead the Ardra Health Centre. National Broadband Ireland says work has commenced in a project to bring broadband to over 1,500 homes, farms and businesses near Fintown. And a survivor of Stardust, whose two sisters were unlawfully killed in the nightclub fire, says she is satisfied with a state compensation scheme. These stories in full plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will be here with all the latest in sport at around 5:15, and that will be followed by Anne Nuitt with Colm Pilcher. A significant visible policing operation will be in place across the north today. It's ahead of planned protests in Belfast later. Hannah Patterson has the latest from the PSNI's headquarters.
A fifth night of disorder took place in Belfast last night after violence broke out in the city following an anti-immigration protest last weekend. Some businesses have decided to close early today ahead of planned protests later. But Assistant Chief Constable Melanie Jones has this message for those involved.
Our officers may have additional powers to stop and search or require the removal of face coverings. Anyone contemplating getting involved needs to understand the consequences.
23 arrests have been made so far, and the 15 who have been charged remain remanded in police custody.
Detectives investigating online posts relating to recent public disorder in the north have arrested a man in the Belfast area. The 55-year-old is being held on suspicion of publishing written material intended to stir up hatred. Meanwhile, police investigating recent riots have arrested a 53-year-old man. They've both been taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite for questioning. The HSE says it is currently in an active process to recruit a new GP to lead the Ardra Health Centre. In May, Dr. Morel Sweeney confirmed that after 29 years as a GP in Ardra, she had handed in her resignation to the HSE. This week she confirmed she is going on the 22nd of this month, but has had no contact from the HSE. National Broadband Ireland says work has commenced in a project to bring broadband to over 1,500 homes, farms and businesses near Fintown. Work is also underway in other areas of Donegal, while NBI says almost 9,600 homes, businesses and farms in the county can already connect to the system. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
NBI says having successfully completed the survey and design phase of the project, construction is now underway and 1,543 premises in the Fintown deployment areas will be connected to the network between October and December. Construction works are also underway in other parts of Donegal, including over 6,200 premises on the Inishowen Peninsula and over 2,900 near St Johnston. These premises are all set to be connected to the network next year. Other areas of the county are progressing through engineering, survey and design phases. NBI says considerable progress is being made in Donegal, with high-speed fibre broadband now available to almost 9,600 premises, including over 1,800 near Tamney, over 3,200 near Letterkenny, over 2,800 near Creasla and almost 3,000 near Bunbeg.
A survivor of Stardust, whose two sisters were unlawfully killed in the nightclub fire, says she is satisfied with a state compensation scheme. Ministers agreed today to a €24 million scheme, which means each family of the 48 victims will get €500,000. In April, inquests delivered a verdict of unlawful killing to each of the people who died at Stardust. Antoinette Keegan believes some families will be able to get their lives back.
I'm satisfied, right, that the government has acknowledged the unlawful killing. I'm satisfied that they've addressed the issues of concern for the families of the 48 victims. I can never use the word happy because 43 years in Stardust, none of us was ever left happy. So that's why I say I'm satisfied. We'll never forget our loved ones and we were never in this for money. Money was always the last thing on our mind. It was always truth and justice.
Drew Harris looks like he's going to retire when his contract as Garda Commissioner expires next year. The Irish Times reports he's declined an offer of a second extension to his contract, which first began in 2018. Drew Harris's current deal will run out in about 10 months and the government may then have to open a recruitment process. Political editor with the Daily Mail, Craig Hughes, says that's going to be a struggle.
Drew Harris will be remembered as the most unpopular Garda Commissioner within the Gardaí, probably perhaps in the history of the state. I mean, when there was a no confidence motion put down against him, it really was unprecedented. I think it'll be a struggle if they go externally to recruit from this due to the conditions around it. And I think the Gardaí, Garda Síochána is in a really difficult place at the moment in terms of not having adequate resources.
A contractor has been appointed to construct the new north stand at the Brandywell in Derry. Construction is expected to commence in the coming weeks and will continue into early next year. Ava Casey has this report.
Derry City FC confirmed that they informed Derry City and Strabane District Council of their appointment of a contractor to construct the new North Strand at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Site enabling works that included the disconnection of services and the complete demolition of blocks A and B at the northern end of the existing stand have already taken place. Construction works are expected to start in the coming weeks and continue over several months and into early next year ahead of the FAI season in February. Planning permission was granted in October last year for the partial demolition of the south end stand and the development of a safe standing covered terrace, male and female toilet facilities, additional turnstiles, access gates and other associated works on the site. Sean Barrett, Derry City FC's chief executive, says ongoing engagement will continue with user groups, residents and fans over the coming weeks and months and every effort will be made to ensure disruption is kept to a minimum.
An independent Donegal councillor says the government must communicate more with community groups and others who are working to integrate refugees into their area. Councillor Declan Meehan says the reality on the ground in places like Milford is this work is taking place in a vacuum, with little help or support coming from the government. He says the perceived threat from the growth of the far right didn't emerge in June's local elections, but that's not to say there aren't concerns which the government must do more to address.
We have to look at the 2024 elections elsewhere across the world and compare that with our own and see that that political representation is not there. So these people are not as numerous as, you know, sometimes we are led to believe. That's not to say that people don't have concerns. It's not to say that some people don't have negative opinions towards them. And I think that a key issue here is communication by the government at every level. And we have seen since this, I suppose, migration situation has ramped up since 2022. We have seen a real vacuum of communication from government at every levels. I work in the community. You know, my day job, in addition now to being a county councillor, is and has been as a community worker. And Milford hosts, you know, almost 200 refugees as a town in and of itself. The Milford electoral area is somewhere closer to 650. I can say that we have never, as a community organisation on the ground, working with refugees, working with immigrants, we have never received direct communication from government. And that is ridiculous. That is startling. As the people who are, I suppose, left to deal with initiatives such as integration, but also simply just getting people sorted out with school places and all that, the amount of work that has been done over the past few years, we've not been given an additional penny in funding.
Letterkenny's Polestar is one of four public art pieces featured on a new set of stamps from An Post, celebrating Ireland's vibrant public art scene. The series of four stamps is intended to introduce an even wider public to major works by important Irish artists like Lockie Morris, the Polestar's creator. The other featured works are Perpetual Motion in Naas, Riders and Horses in Mallow and Tallaght in Dublin. Donegal County Council is being urged to carry out a root and branch review of the county's electoral register and review the methods used to maintain it. Officials told Councillor Michael McBride that the focus for the first 6 months of the year was to facilitate June's local and European elections, and the council is now working with the Electoral Commission in relation to updating the register and making any amendments. With the potential for a general election in less than 4 months' time, Councillor McBride says there is a very real risk of personation, and it's important that risk is recognised and addressed by the council.
It came to the forefront during the county council election campaign how many properties, particularly in Letterkenny, that have maybe up to 11 people adults registered in them, two-bedroom and three-bedroom departments. We came on multiple examples of it. And I think, you know, it's only fair that these things are tidied up. I know it's a big body of work for to do that. But, you know, like, if there's a lot of poll cards going out to addresses all through Donegal for people who no longer live there, I think it always leaves the opportunity there for to compromise election results by people impersonating. And I think we need to get on top of that. I think until we get to a stage where people have to present either a PRSA number, a driver's license number, or some very valid form of ID whenever they go into the booths to vote, then I think it's probably always going to be an element of abuse in it.
Do you believe that there has been impersonation in elections in Donegal? And at any point, do you believe there has been sufficient impersonation and fraudulent voting to actually make a difference to the outcome of an election?
Well, it's very difficult to know what level that that's happening at, but it's fairly common knowledge. I mean, you'll hear it out on the street about impersonations that are taking place. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not in the booth and I don't see who's on there, you know what I mean? But I think we need to make sure that every effort is put in place for to make sure that that can't happen and doesn't happen.
Police in Fermanagh are appealing for information regarding a burglary in the Trillick Road, Ballinamallard area, in which a number of vehicles and equipment were stolen. Last night, a farm shed was broken into and a white Banshee quad, a yellow and black Suzuki Scrambler, a Honda petrol power washer and a quad trailer were stolen, among other items. The PSNI is urging anyone with any information regarding this burglary to get in contact with them. The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break. The time is 16 minutes past five. Oisin Kelly is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Kitty. Well, we start with the Olympics, and there are just two hours to go to the biggest 50 seconds in the career of Rashidi Adeleke. The Tallaght sprinter is drawn in lane four for the women's 400 metres final. That race is due to get underway at the Stade de France at 7 o'clock. There were, of course, two Donegal athletes in action in the morning session. Mark English finished sixth in the men's 800-metre semi-final, missing out on a place in the final, while Kelly McGrory made her Olympic debut and helped the women's 4x400-metre relay team into the final. English gave it his all in the first 800 semi, but came up short. He surged to the front with 200 to go, but was swallowed up by the pack in the closing metres. Highlands Athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal says Mark will be frustrated with how it finished.
He will be very frustrated, absolutely be very frustrated with the final result. You know, he's finished sixth, of course, and you know, the debate will be around did he kick off too soon? You know, with 200 metres to go. You know, obviously he did say after the race that his plan was to be in that lead position at 600 metres, but as he also said, it's not a 600 metre race, so they were coming down the home straight, steaming down the home straight, and he was overhauled, end of story, you know, so he'd be very disappointed. He will be very disappointed when he looks back at it.
Donegal's Kelly McGrory and the women's 4x400 metre relay team qualified for the final following their third place finish earlier today. McGrory, who made her Olympic debut this morning, ran the third leg of the race, handing over to Charlene Mosley, who ran a super strong final leg to secure automatic qualification. That final takes place at 8:15 tomorrow evening. Also today at the Games, Kitty O'Connor goes into this evening's final event of the heptathlon in 14th position. Only the 800 metres remains, with Belgium's Nafusa Thiam occupying the gold medal spot. Sarah Lavin missed out on the 100 metre finals after a 6th place finish in her hurdle semi-final this morning. Laura Gillespie and Alice Sharp compete in the final of the women's Madison, which is at the Velodrome this evening. In swimming, Daniel Wuffen says he's raced his last open water race after placing 18th this morning in the men's marathon swim. He now says he's going to party and celebrate his medal-winning Olympics. Flu-like symptoms appear to be behind Leona Maguire's poor week in the golf. She carried it an 83 today as she slipped back to 24 over par. Stephanie Meadow was 8 over after a level 72. Morgan Metro and Lydia Ko are the joint leaders there, on 9 under, leading by 2. While in football, the Olympic final is taking place this evening, where France are playing Spain. The match kicked off at 5 o'clock, and already there's been a goal. the hosts, who are looking to win gold on their home turf, leading by a goal to nil. But as I speak, Spain have just equalised. 18 minutes on the clock. It's currently a 1-1 game there. Staying with football, in the first division of the League of Ireland this evening, fifth place Fin Harps face a difficult assignment as they travel to Ferry Carrick Park to take on a Wexford side that are 3 points behind them but with the game in hand. Former Harps player Joe Boyle says 3 points would represent a massive result for Harps this evening.
If you beat Wexford this week, to me, that puts 6 points between Harps and Wexford, and that's going to be very, very difficult to pull back in. But if Wexford get the 3 points this week, they're sitting in on 34 points with Harps, and that puts you in a real dogfight with Cove then playing as well this weekend, who are 2 points behind Harps, and that's going to be a big, big weekend, because Cove are playing Kerry this weekend, and you would be, if you're looking for that promotion, you'd be hoping to get a result, although Kerry have been picking up better performances. But, you know, this is a big, big three-pointer here for Harps this weekend. It could turn into a six-pointer if they can get the victory over Wexford.
Elsewhere in the first division, it's first versus second as Cork City host Athlone Town. It's Bray Wanderers versus UCD and Kerry meet Cove Ramblers. In the top flight, Derry City will go top of the Premier Division if they beat Dundalk at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, joining Shelburne at the head of the standings. The other match tonight sees Bohemians take on Waterford. All matches in the League of Ireland kick off at 7:45. The new Irish League Premiership season gets up and running this evening as well. Glentoran are facing Crusaders in Belfast. While cross-channel, the English Championship also starts. Blackburn Rovers plays Derby County and Preston North End meets Sheffield United. All those matches start at 8 o'clock. Former Republic of Ireland midfielder Lee Carsley has been confirmed as the interim head coach of England. His first match in charge will come against Ireland at the Aviva on September 7th, with Finland visiting Wembley 3 days later. The English FA say Carsley could also remain at the helm for the rest of the Nations League campaign as they continue their search for a permanent replacement for Gareth Southgate. In Gaelic games, the Michael Murphy Sports Donegal Football Championships get up and running this weekend, with 35 games to take place across senior, intermediate and junior. Our feature game on Saturday Sport tomorrow is St Eunan's against Kilcare. That one throws in at 4:30, and we'll have full live commentary here on Highland from the O'Donnell Park. In the meantime, here's Kilcare captain Owen McHugh.
So it's come back around that time of the year where you're waiting on it this past couple of months and you're looking forward to getting going, and a big challenge the first day out, but I think we've met them the first game maybe 3 out of the last 4 years, maybe 5 years, and in O'Donnell Park again. So look, it's a good game to find out where we're at ourselves, and we'll figure it out from there.
And finally, just staying with Gaelic games, Desi Dolan has stepped down as Westmeath senior football manager today. He spent 2 years in charge and led them to promotion in Division 2 this year. However, they lost a preliminary round Leinster Championship tie to Wicklow. And that's your sports for today here in Highland. We'll have more tomorrow afternoon with Mark and Kieran. Kitty.
Thanks, Oisín, agus anois an nuacht le Colm Fertur.
Jim and Natasha of Colm Fertur and Shaw. Tá cadú tugad do ranfartíthe cladú leis an fórum forbartha teanga maidir le raich atá fáilsithe ar an suíomh forras na Gaeilge Bonc IE. Is cuid lárna é an fórum forbartha teanga ile Ilinn den struchtúr formúl idir na ceanna gríochtaí agus forras na Gaeilge, is iad na cospóirí atá ag an fórum na analýis agus cóirle a ghlacú agus a chur ar fáil. Fui na rigtanish at a bunch leshen gilliga ar fod na chira a mór rim si ahanta. Carter Falter of a leri his summa o rini at a tishkinch ar arnial ar lai at a bunch leshen arnial ag level an fobal na fridge obersaku len na kyan agriakti gilliga. Ractal har camino runa nal ijer a kedla agus a shartal la dan mi mana nohar. And spricket tag bunch le camino runanal na an conde a chorcon kin, marcion scriba torosorocta, come out la harriga de wailu da hervishi a curum alcha an earher conde runanal. And sprick chum siha arigajata onum liana na kid mila euro. Ta emekti golior bartihe la hai fela oran an feeb erin sharta la jeg dan visha. In Gael tucked ear hooshkert and hondi, Jenin and Eilin nask idir culture, agus a culture ningale, an Alabin, agus an Yerin, agus Tokyol Koramaha, Rangana, agus Cardlana, a Bartiha, Amliana, Erclarna Fela, Le Kyoltori, Mora, Lara, and a Mask, Brian, Danny, Minnie, Diane Cannon, agus Sheila Friel. Shin Makodsha, Elig Golier, Slan, agus Bannock.
A new project based in the Creggan area of Derry has announced a plan to empower local residents, encourage positive leadership and boost community spirit. The Empower Project, managed by Creggan Neighbourhood Partnership, plans to put women at the heart of the initiative and encourage others to embrace change, explore solutions and take more active leadership roles within the area. The project is supported through the International Fund for Ireland's Peace Impact Programme. Project coordinator Julianne Campbell says this has the potential to be a very important project for the future of Creggan and its people.
Yesterday we launched a project that was set up 3 months ago, and it's called the Empower Project Creggan, and it's about sort of empowering the community to bring about change, to help people seek change, to find solutions for things. So a lot of it would be empowering women. We've done self-defence classes, assertiveness training, trying to put the power back into the community, you know, train up some members of the community to be better leaders in their own areas.
There is a very strong community spirit in the Creggan, and there always has been. That's really, I suppose, going to depend on the strength of individuals who, as you say, are there to lead it. And this initiative is going to play a really key role in making sure that there are strong people, and particularly strong women, who can bring that Creggan community forward.
There's always been strong women in Creggan. My mammy's from Creggan. So it's sort of trying to maximise how strong the women are in Creggan, maybe, and make the most of them, and trying to bring them to the fore, maybe, and train them up. And by this time next year, we could be doing accredited courses and stuff, you know, just to give them more opportunities and help sort of heal the community a bit more, because Creggan is still not really, it's suffering a wee bit from, you know, it's quite a disadvantaged area too. And although it is a brilliant community and very, very tight, well, there's still work to be done up there in terms of just working with the community and helping. So I'm really, really proud that we can try and help. And if we can help empower the community at all, let's do it.
International students are more at risk of being targeted by accommodation fraudsters. University student unions and the Gardaí are appealing to anyone looking for a place to rent to be cautious of anything that seems too good to be true. One third of rental scams happen at this time of year, with over 12 reports of people losing thousands of euro last month. Richard Noonan from Munster Technological University Student Union in Cork says international students are often charged up to four times more than Irish students.
There's the added dimension for international students where, because they're coming over, they have to pay such bigger fees towards colleges than, say, students from Ireland originally would have to. They can often be looked upon by landlords, or say if there's scams regarding rental properties, they can be viewed as sort of cash cow students, where they could be charged three or four times for an accommodation that a student, while also struggling, would have to pay a certain amount already.
And now for the weather. Sunny spells and isolated showers this evening. Most areas dry with clear spells overnight, with just isolated showers. Lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees. To conclude this evening's news bulletin, a significant visible policing operation will be in place across the north today. It's ahead of planned protests in Belfast later. The HSE says it is currently in an active process to recruit a new GP to lead the Ardra Health Centre. In May, Dr. Morel Sweeney confirmed that after 29 years as a GP in Ardra, she had handed in her resignation to the HSE. National Broadband Ireland says work has commenced in a project to bring broadband to over 1,500 homes, farms and businesses near Fintown. Work is also underway in other areas of Donegal, while NBI says almost 9,600 homes, businesses and farms in the county can already connect to the system. And a survivor of Stardust, whose two sisters were unlawfully killed in the nightclub fire, says she is satisfied with the state compensation scheme. Ministers agreed today to a €24 million scheme, which means each family of the 48 victims will get €500,000. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, August 9th. The death has occurred of Kevin Digger Nealis, Domain, Ruffo. Kevin will be reposing at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening and from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. funeral cortege will be leaving his late residence on Sunday morning at 20 past 10, going to St. Union's Church, Raphoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed online via the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to chest, heart and stroke, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors, Oakfield, Raphoe. The death has taken place of Agnes McCusker, née Ponsonby, 11 Evesh Road, Strabane, and formerly of Glebe, Sion Mills, reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home on Sunday at 20 past 11 for Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Mary Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Breed Bridget McGill, Gorton Amukla, Glenties, and formerly Glen Road, Glenties. Breed's remains are reposing at her home until 10 o'clock this evening, and tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St. Connell's Church, Glenties, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral. The Mass can be viewed live on Church Services TV. The death has taken place of Peter McLaughlin, Main Street, Newton Cunningham. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday morning for Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Renal Dialysis Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Charlie McLafferty Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.